Hello and welcome to PMU Unfiltered. I'm your host, Marlo. If you're not sure what you're listening to, this is a permanent makeup podcast. Yeah, that's right. We're out here tattooing people's faces. So if you're new to the industry, if you're a veteran to the industry, come with me on my journey through permanent makeup and getting some guests on here because we're keeping it real, we're keeping it raw, and most of all, we are keeping this PMU unfiltered. For today's topic, we're going to be talking about retention. Why are our clients coming back in 4 to 6 weeks with nothing left? What can we do to make our touch-ups quicker and more effective? Stay tuned. Hey guys, what's up? Marlo here from PMU Unfiltered. Today, I'm going to kick this episode off with a little bit of reflection. It's always good to reflect. It's always good to internalize current events and learn and grow from them. We have had some really horrible news that Kobe Bryant has passed, and really just horrific. It was a horrific moment, and he's too young, and it sucks. So I've been kind of reflecting on this a little bit all week and really letting it marinate. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I'm really just not a sports fan, generally speaking, but I can totally respect work ethic and showing up. I don't mean just showing up. I mean showing the fuck up to every day. You show up to every day and you give 100% every day, you become a legend like Kobe Bryant. That gets my respect. To me, I don't give those people respects that step on other people and work their way up to the top by stepping on other people. Kobe Bryant did it himself. You know, no one else wakes up at 5 o'clock in the morning for you and goes to practice. So, you know, rip Kobe, really devastating news, but let's just take a little bit of a learning experience and something to internalize and reflect on. You don't become a G, you don't become a legend if you don't put in the work every fucking day. And that's just, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, he was 41 years old, and I mean, it's insane the amount of accomplishments that he has under his belt. So yeah, that's, I'm not gonna try to rant too much about that. I'm not gonna give you the whole life is short speech, but definitely make every day count. You know what I mean? Oh, man. All right, moving on and moving forward. I also want to give a shout out to my girl Hillary over in Kentucky. Thank you so much for emailing me. I know it takes a lot sometimes to be vulnerable and have a little bit more of an intimate interaction outside of the Facebook posts. So if you have anything that you need from me, email me at pmuunfiltered@gmail.com. That's me, Marlo, and I'll get back to you in due time. Always like it for a little, you know, a little fire in my belly to generate a topic too. So hit me up. Tell me about your issues. Tell me about your, I don't know, championships. Like, I'm here for you. Woot woot. Let's get through this together. All right. Meat and potatoes. Zero retention. Why are your clients coming back with nothing? And you know what's funny? I always know what clients are going to come back with nothing. Either it's something about my performance. I can tell how the interaction is, or the performance of like my work is. I know maybe they're bleeding a lot. Maybe the skin just isn't, you know, perfect for whatever the situation is in that moment. I know when they had a cup of coffee. I know when they had a little bit of fish oil. But putting all that aside, putting all that client prep aside, let's talk about how we can have good retention. How can we eliminate the factors as much as possible so we can have a holy grail, to me, maybe like a 1 hour touch up. I don't want to map again. I don't want to refill every single stroke that's perfect. You know, I just want a little touch up, just a little beep, little beep, little beep. Bye. See you in 6 months. See you in 1 year's time. That's it. So touch up. Where does this all start? We gotta stretch. I don't know what butchers I've been seeing on YouTube, like those trendy, those like trendy videos that like a girl from like, I don't know, BuzzFeed or like Refinery goes to some local like microblading bay, gets her eyebrows done, and they zoom in like really close to the video of her getting the work done. Oh my God, they don't even stretch. It is like the butcher of the blade. It's insane. You're like, holy shit, she must be dying in pain. They're like, and I numbed for 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, bitch, I hope so. Fuck, that's not right. Oh my God, you have to stretch the skin. You have two hands. You got to use them both. 3-point stretch on one hand without the blade. Your other hand, while you're blading, that pinky goes to work. I'm a lefty, so my left hand holds the blade. That pinky's out, pulling in that stretch. And then that other hand, my right hand, your left hand probably, is 3-point stretch. Thumb, pointer, middle finger. Stretch the brow, and stretch the brow equally, evenly. You want to expand the brow equally. You don't want to, how do I say this? Creating like a visual. You don't want to distort your shape. You don't want to pull the brow up or pull it over. You want to equally stretch the brow. You just want to zoom in equally, equal parts on that section. So stretch. Stretch is super important. Two hands, a working pinky on the hand with the blade. You've got to stretch. Now, depositing the pigment correctly. This is something I've personally been struggling with the PermaBlend pigments. I find that I have to wipe my blade quite often throughout the procedure because it's drying on my blade. So do wipe the blade during the procedure if it looks kind of gunky, I guess. I mean, I don't really like to say that, but yeah. I also use Fee pigments as well. I do like that more glycerin type pigment for microblading in particular. It enters the cut a little bit better and more evenly. So I go back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes I try to challenge myself and I'm like, you know what? Today's going to be a PermaBlend microblading day. And then, you know, midway through the session, I'm just like, ugh! I'm just really frustrated. And then for my next 3-4 clients, I do Fee. And then, you know, I'm just really back and forth. I'm always trying to figure out what works best for me. And yeah, that's what I got. So depositing the pigment correctly. So when we're cutting the skin, we want to make sure that we have pigment on the blade. You need to make sure you are implanting pigment. You cannot cut the skin and not implant pigment. You won't have anything. You'll have zero retention, obviously. This is what essentially a tattoo is, implantation of pigment. So we want to insert the pigment and deposit the pigment correctly. If you're using the Fee pigments, I do find that there's something in the glycerin type material that goes into the skin. The PermaBlend, it's more liquidy, if that makes sense. And I have a problem with washing the cut. So after my pigment mask for microblading, we've all done it. Where a lot of people are using the PermaBlend, and you know that it dries hella fast. So I like to take my pigment mask and then put a little Saran wrap over my PermaBlend pigment mask, because it keeps the pigment from drying. Why? Why don't I want the pigment to dry? Because then I have to really scrub it off when I'm going back for my second pass. And what do I do when I'm really working off that pigment? I'm washing the cut. What is the point of washing the cut? We need to keep the pigment in there. It's really maddening and it's frustrating, and I'm with you. So we're in this together. So when you're doing the PermaBlend pigment mask, put the Saran wrap over it and don't let it dry. So then when you go back to the other brow that's been sitting in the mask, you pull the Saran wrap off, the brow is still a little wet, and then you can wipe and you're not like scrubbing you know, the kitchen floor waiting for it to be squeaky clean. So I really suggest using Saran Wrap during your pigment masks with PermaBlend. I don't feel as though Fee needs it. I use Quantum Pigments as well by Paulina. I'm sure you've seen her her stuff on YouTube. That has like a glycerin base to it as well. I like the glycerin-based pigments. I find that they like slide into the cut. I don't know. It's just what I notice during my sessions. So yeah, so pigment mask for PermaBlend, use the Saran Wrap so you don't let it dry, and then don't wash the cut. Don't use super soaked, like green soap cotton rounds. Just try a little bit. Try to get a little bit. I really love baby wipes, to be completely honest with you. I feel like they're not so wet, and it's just enough. It's just enough that I'm not washing. Now let's talk about passes. Was your first pass even quantifiable as a pass? Mine isn't. My first pass is so topical. It's so topical. Like, I don't even prenum. My clients are not jumping out the chair. My first pass is so, like, on the surface of the skin. Nobody complains. I've had people sleeping, like, or just, like, generally chatting, or they don't talk at all. Depends on my day. You know what I mean? But, yeah, my first pass isn't even quantifiable as a first pass. So to me, my second pass is really my first pass. I've gotten to use the blue gel at that point, and I could really kind of go to work a little bit. You know, I really don't like to use these terms that indicate I'm like really like plowing pigment into the face. You know, everything is very superficial worked, not deep cutting. There's no bleeding. There just isn't. So yeah. So my second pass is really my first pass. So if I'm going to be technical, I do about three passes. My very topical first pass, my second pass, which is like me really starting to work, and then my third pass, which in turn, I guess, is kind of like my second pass. What I like to do for my second pass, again, this is applicable to microblading. I like to chug a little cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha up and down through my stroke. It's, to me, it opens the cut just a little bit more, and it allows a little bit more pigment to go in. You need to implant pigment in the same spot every time. Otherwise, if you're double stroking and they're like so faint and tight, if you're double stroking, you didn't do the work. You didn't do the work. It's not ever going to be a second or third pass. You double stroked. So, or if you double stroked and they were both deep, you're going to have just a blob. And I've seen it. You know, I have to do removals on them. They're like, oh, I just want to touch up. I'm like, this ain't microblading. I was like, this is blob shit all over your face. I don't say that to my clients, of course, but in my eyes, I'm like, no, you need a removal if you want hair strokes, or, you know the deal, or we cover it up with powder brows. up to you, boo. So yeah, for that chug of a pass, make sure every single movement, every single pass has pigment implantation. There needs to be pigment through the entire hair stroke. And that's how you see on Instagram and those healed photos of the entire hair stroke still there. They implanted pigment equally throughout the whole stroke. So then we come to the last of every microblading session. Aftercare. I do not like to give ointment for my microblading aftercare. I do not. Why? Because I feel as though, A, people don't listen and they want to make up their own aftercare, and they have a different definition of what a grain of rice seems like. It's just the reality. You know, people just aren't always on the same page as you. They're not listening. They have a different definition of like how they did things, right? Oh, I did everything you told me. What did you do? That's what I want to know. You did everything I told you, so what did you do? I like when they come back because I'm like, I'm looking at the brows and I'm like, oh shit. I'm about to work for 2.5 hours right now. I don't like that. I have my whole day planned out. So yeah, aftercare, microblading aftercare. I don't like to give them pigment. I like a dry heel. It's not sexy. It ain't cute, but that's that. You just gotta have them dry heel. Microblading, I feel as though something about aftercare, it makes sense to me, is diluting the work. I understand that it alleviates some scabbing and it's good for skin health, but it is cuts. It's much different than machine work. It is diluting the work to me. It's going inside the cut and creating more liquid. It's creating oil, you know, or whatever it is that you're using, whether it's the Fee aftercare. I use A&D. I don't know the, what's the other one? The After Inked, those little grapeseed oil packets, you know, it to me, it just feels like I'm diluting the work a little bit. Now for machine work, I feel as though it does not dilute the work. I mean, ish. I like to wait a few days before they start applying it because, again, I want my work to be there when I come back for the touch-up because I want to work for an hour, hour and 15 minutes tops when they come in with a whole bunch of like a little this, a little this, a little longer here. I think I want to make the whole brow bigger. Okay, this is what we said from the beginning. That's fine. All right. But aftercare, the client is not always committed to the aftercare as much as you're committed to doing the good work. So make sure your aftercare is very clear. I like to give cards. I like to have them repeat back to me what their aftercare was. Oh, I did it. I did everything you told me. Okay, so what? Put it back. Let them tell you. It was only 4 weeks ago. It's fine. They'll be able to tell you. So yeah, aftercare, I don't use ointment. I don't suggest ointment. And I say typically by like when they're scabbing and it's just uncomfortable and they can see the skin is healed, like visually the skin is healed topically, not underneath. That's why we have to wait 4 to 6 weeks. This skin needs a full cycle of growth and like happiness for us to touch that again with a blade. But visually, the skin appears healed in about 5, 7, 10 days, depending upon skin type, immune, and, you know, XYZ. Also, another little thing that I noticed that comes back, honestly, really quite often for me is the thyroid issues. I have been super frustrated with my thyroid clients. It's autoimmune, and I'm finding, I think generally speaking, I can speak on a generality right now. If you want to make money, if you want to make money for your time, I'm not talking about scamming your clients, but within that checklist of things that they check off of issues and medical conditions that they have, if they check off an autoimmune issue, I suggest upon doing their first session for X dollars that you charge and then charging for the touch-up, that I find it motivating for me to charge the touch-up separately and not build it into the first session. I need the motivation to block my time and do good work. So I charge for my first session and then I charge for a touch-up. If that client checks off an autoimmune issue, specifically they're probably there for thyroid. There's something with the thyroid that has a lot of issues with eyebrow hair loss. Really frustrating for the client. But the reality is you will need to do the work on them 3 times. The first session, the touch-up, and an additional session in 4 to 6 weeks for their satisfaction. Technically speaking, they will be fine. they could do a first session and a touch-up and come back in, you know, maybe a 6-week color, I mean, a 6-month color boost or however you want to call it in your studio, an enhancement, whatever. But realistically, those thyroid clients, those autoimmune clients really do need either machine work brow, powder brow, ombre brow, machine brow, however you want to call it, or if they are dead set on the microblading, which they typically are because they're left with such a heavy front of hair and nothing in the tail, so they like the idea of being as natural as possible. If they want the microblading, they're going to need a third session. That is your responsibility to tell them. And it is up to you and your business and your business model to tell them, today's the first session, this is how much it costs. My touch-up is $150. We'll say it like this. My touch-up is $150 in 4 to 6 weeks. I do typically find that people with some autoimmune issues and specifically thyroid problems, I see you mark thyroid here. I could tell by your hair growth, you know, really lax. It might be satisfactory for you to get an additional touch-up in 4 to 6 weeks. They might pause. They might hesitate. Oh, is it going to cost me? Yes, again, it's $150 for that additional 4 to 6 week touch-up. So, you know, it's a part of the beast. And if that's going to motivate you to do good work for them, then that you need to charge. If you're going to treat your client like, yo, whatever, like this shit's free, like you need to chill out. Like if that's how you're going to treat your client and that's going to make you feel that type of way, then set up a pricing structure that works for you. Or offer some like, you know, just, okay, I'll only cover my tools and I don't know, maybe that's like $70. That covers a time and a tool for an hour. Again, I don't know what you use. I don't know what pigments you like. Your price structure is up to you. It is your business. It is not up for the client to determine how much you're worth. So, yeah, that's what I've got here for today. So just like breaking that down real quick so we can leave with, you know, the full coverage of what this episode was about. We are talking about microblading retention. And we talked about stretch, 3-point stretch, correctly depositing the pigment and types of pigments I prefer, permablend and phi, as well as quantum pigments. Pigment mask, if your permablend is drying, put a little saran wrap over it while you're working on the other brow, because we cannot wash the cut. We need to keep the pigment inside the cut. Is your first pass even a first pass? Okay, maybe your second pass is really your first pass. So go for that third pass. Just don't go deep. The client should never bleed, ever. And then aftercare. Be clear about your aftercare. Decide whether or not you want your client to dry heal or use ointment on day 4 through 7. Or, you know, it, again, up to you. I don't know what your trainers taught you, but aftercare does have a large role. Make sure you explain to your client, hey, you know, if you are a marathon runner, I really suggest that you don't have big, heavy sweats for 7 days or so. You will literally sweat out the pigment, right? Sweat comes in the from inside and pushes out. That's what sweat is. So it will do the same to the eyebrow. So just be clear about your aftercare. And I prefer no ointment for my microblading aftercare. Dry heal. That's just what I'm seeing better retention. And other than that, feel a little obliged to tell your autoimmune clients you might need to see them a third time. That's that. What are you going to do? Hey. So next episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about retention with machine work. Yeah, we've all been there. We've got the machine in our hand. It's new, it's powerful, and it's really scary. So we'll talk a little bit about machine work. Yeah, looking forward to that. I've really gotten into my machine and I just feel like I'm never going back. But, you know, I'm here for you. I'm here for the microbladers. I got you. Yeah, Rip Kobe, let's learn from a legend. Build that fire in your belly. Give 110% every day. You got this. You got this. All right. I'm up and out, guys. Thanks for listening to PMU Unfiltered.